WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We have a difficult show to do tonight, but anyway, we'll talk about it. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern and Keishi Matsunaga.
Yep, we are here to talk about SummerSlam, right?
We are? Well, wait, I think Ruck's trying to talk. Yeah, we're here today talking about SummerSlam, but there is a bit of news that we do have to talk about this week, because there was something that dominated the wrestling world that I got a text message from my father, of all people, telling me about.
Yeah, I got contacted by people who otherwise I would have never heard from if it wasn't for that specific news thing in wrestling.
Yeah, it's funny because when people know that you're a wrestling fan, when something like this happens, they all reach out to you like, hey, did you hear? And it's kind of like, at first I was like, oh, that happened. And then it's like I started to get the text message rolling in, and I'm like, no, I've heard. I have definitely heard this by now.
Yeah, I definitely caught it before people started reaching out to me, but it was a shock to say the least.
Yeah, so in case you have been busy for most of this week and you're not sure what we're talking about, we got the unfortunate news that Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, passed away at the age of 71. And for people of our age, of our generation, this was a very big thing because a lot of us grew up and that was the main star that helped us get into professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, if you were anyone who caught wrestling in the mid to late 80s, and even honestly, if you weren't someone who knew a lot about wrestling in the mid to late 80s, you pretty much knew who Hulk Hogan was.
Yeah. You definitely saw the influence of Hulk Hogan and that vision that both Hulk and Vince had for what professional wrestling could be in terms of popular culture.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you can honestly look at it and say, like, he brought wrestling into a mainstream that it had never seen before between both him and Vince McMahon. So like their vision took it to a whole new level that they had never seen since the inception of professional wrestling way back in the day. So, it's hard to deny what they did, and it's hard to argue whether or not, you know, Vince could have done it with another guy, or Hulk Hogan could have gotten to the heights that he did without Vince McMahon. It was kind of those two coming together at that time, kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, because for a lot of people who don't know, Hogan came from the AWA originally, so he had kind of helped develop that character in a different territory, and then the McMahons came along, brought him into the WWF, and it was just, as Casey mentioned, that kind of perfect synergy of you had Hogan as, like, the in-ring showman, and he knew kind of that bombastic personality that just, when he finally, because he was, you know, a heel at start, but then he embraced the Hogan character, and that just shot into the stratosphere. And from there, I mean, it legitimately, the rest is history. You know, you got the red and yellow that was running wild. You had him paired with Cindy Lauper for WrestleMania 1. And I mean, it's hard to argue that he, and I mean, you had some other people, you know, you had the Freebirds and like Ric Flair as in Highlander at the very start. But I mean, it was just kind of like a little spot thing of, oh, hey, look, there's wrestling. And then Hogan came along and he was doing things like Suburban Commando, Mr. Nanny. And it's like, he really transcended professional wrestling into popular culture in a way that had not really seen before.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could argue that there might have been a handful of other guys that if you know, the McMahons had kind of like gotten behind, they probably could have got it to the same level. But you can't argue the fact that like Hogan was definitely like one of those handful of guys that brought it, that basically shot it into the stratosphere of popularity. And, you know, very few people could have done it to the same level. And I mean, you just like anybody who's kind of seen wrestling from the 80s up until today, if it wasn't for, you know, that power or popularity that Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon kind of like pushed wrestling into the spotlight of, we may not be seeing wrestling the way it is today.
Well, as we talked about, there was this kind of transcendence of professional wrestling into pop culture. And I mean, arguments could be made that like without him, we wouldn't be seeing people like The Rock, John Cena, doing a very similar thing. You may not be able to see, and I know that you've had celebrities involved in wrestling from the start, but I think some of that cross-pollination that we saw with someone like Hogan, you wouldn't be able to see things like a Bad Bunny or a Logan Paul, even. Someone that's able to go and do the opposite and be, you know, bridge that gap of bringing fans in to wrestling culture in a similar way.
Yeah, 100%.
And I mean, it's really hard to say this, but there's things of like when Hulk passes, there's a lot of good memories. And unfortunately, in recent years, there's been a lot of other things that have come.
It's that line of man behind the character and then the character, and you kind of figure it out.
You definitely have to separate it, especially in this case, you have to separate the art from the artist, because like you've got to appreciate everything that, you know, Hulk Hogan, the character, Hulkamania, the movement did for wrestling. It's just really unfortunate that you have to circle back and see all of the things that, you know, Terry Bollea / Terry Hulk Hogan, because he did have his name legally changed to Hogan, what kind of transpired and kind of what came about in his later years, and was probably around, you know, back in the day too, just, you know, with the advent of the internet and nothing staying hidden and kind of people's true colors showing forward. It sucks that it kind of like, there are a lot of people out there who he like tarnished his reputation for, where it's like, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, Hulk Hogan was like everything. And now it's really like, it's hard for a lot of people to watch a lot of that stuff without a lot of the recent stuff sitting in the back of your head and possibly even like erasing a lot of that stuff for people too.
Well, for me, it's one of those things of, the last image we saw of Hulk Hogan like on our TVs in front of a crowd was that appearance on Netflix where he was legitimately booed out of the building.
And I mean, my personal opinion is like, he kind of deserved it. I'm one of those people where, like, you know, you try to separate the art from the artist, and there are times when you can where I can do that and it's fine, but it's usually from like a not, it's like it's there and you kind of can't get around it. I don't go out of my way to watch a lot of Hogan things or anything like that, but I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he did nothing for wrestling, because he did a lot. It's really unfortunate that like I can't fully engross myself in a way that I did, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and even all the way back to when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, there, as we said, there's a lot of highs we can talk about with Hogan. There's a lot of lows we can talk about. But Casey, we'll start with you. What's probably like the one big memory that you can take from Hogan? Like, what if I were to mention Hulk Hogan, what's the first thing that kind of comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, like for me, it was just the like intensity of the way he would cut promos. Mm-hmm. That's like the thing that like, because he was just on camera, on screen, he was just this like larger, he had tons of energy, he was a larger than life, and he just came out and he had intensity, but he got his point across and like he really sucked you in. I don't even remember, like I couldn't tell you specifically what it was that drew me in when I was a kid, but like 1000% I was a Hulk Hogan guy. You hear like lots of people in kind of our generation who watched as kids were like, you were like either like when, you know, Hulk Hogan and Warrior fought, you were either Team Hogan or Team Warrior. And I was like 1000% on the Hulk Hogan side. And like, I thought he was this like superhero that was real life. And, you know, he was almost like you could beat him down, but he always got back up and he always came back. And like, that appeals to, you know, it appeals to something as a kid of like, you know, you see cartoons and you read comic books and stuff, and then you have this like larger than life dude who always just like eventually at some point just seemed to become invincible, and like you believe that hype, and he really, really sold it.
Yeah. How about you, Tim? Is there a specific memory that comes to mind when we mentioned the name Hulk Hogan?
His appearance as Thunderlips in Rocky III, and the reason why that is number one in my brain is that is basically the catalyst that exploded WWF back at the time and professional wrestling into the mainstream.
Yeah, I'm going to be my usual self. I have two of them. One from each company. So growing up, much like you, Casey, I was a Hulk Hogan fan. He was probably the first one that really got me like interested. Like, I enjoyed watching Saturday Night's Main Event. Like, when Saturday Night Live was on, I was kind of like, oh, as a kid, because it's like it meant no wrestling. But when they did Saturday Night's Main Event, you were like, yes, I get to watch this. And it's like Hogan was going to be involved. And so growing up, I always remembered one, the moment when Earthquake took out Hulk Hogan, and he hit him, I think, with like two of the Earthquake sits. And they did the whole thing of like, you know, oh, you can send your get well messages. And, you know, they posted the address on there. And it's like, as a young kid, I'm like, I want to do that. Like, Hogan's hurt. I can't believe this. And nowadays I look back and I'm like, oh, Hogan needed a break. But like, I was fully engrossed at that moment of like, Hulk Hogan got taken out by Earthquake and he's legitimately injured. And oh my God, I can't believe it. And I think the other moment is Bash at the Beach 96.
Which side is he on?
Yeah. Bobby Heenan ruining the moment, for God's sake. But it was that moment of, you had the outsiders, these guys from WWF who had come over, and they're taking on the WCW contingent, and there was that question of, like, who's their third man? And Hogan shows up, and I love it because you have, like, Dusty Rhodes and Tony Schiavone that are both just like, yes, get in there, show them what's up, go to it. Bobby, of course, says that line of, like, but whose side is he on? And then he drops that leg drop, and I mean, legitimately, no matter how old you were, you saw that moment and you sat there just completely gobsmacked of the ultimate hero had just turned his back on everything. And you watched and they threw the garbage into the ring and he's telling, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund that, you know, this is the new world order essentially that's being created. And you just were horrified that the ultimate face turned. And it was a seismic shift in the world of professional wrestling. You didn't think Hogan was ever going to turn because he was such a beloved figure, and he did, and they made so much more money because of it.
Yeah, I mean, up here we didn't have WCW at the time, so when I actually saw Hogan, I mean, when I saw Hogan as a heel, it had already been very well established. Because we did finally start getting Nitro up here. And, like, so I didn't get that sort of impact. But, like, when you first see him come out and, like, whoa, what is going on? So, like, I mean, not to the same, like, impact that, like, actually seeing him, like, turn his back basically on wrestling fans. But it was, like, very interesting to turn on the TV the first time and be like, oh, hey, it's other wrestling. Whoa, what is going on? It was kind of cool.
It's tough when an icon dies. It's kind of the childhood, it kind of goes away.
You start to realize how old you are when you're like, oh, we just lost Hulk Hogan. Oh, man. Like that, like Rock said, that is a piece of my childhood that is now gone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of happening like across like all of pop culture right now. So the fact that
Ozzy.
Like, yeah, exactly. Ozzy like a day or two before. And like there was some, I can't remember who else it was, but I mean, there was a third person.
Malcolm, Jamal, Warner, Theo Huxtable.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that is also like another thing out of my childhood too. So like we're starting to hit that time. And it's very interesting because we're sort of that generation of like mass, like worldwide appeal. I mean, you can go back to, you know, when Elvis died, when John Lennon died, like there was that like batch of like a whole lot of things happening kind of at the same time that impacted a generation. Now it's sort of coming into the next generation of like big pop culture icons that is starting to broad span and affect like people on a global scale, and it's kind of crazy.
Well, you said that there were three. There are five pop icons that all passed away within 7 days of each other. Singer Patsy Cline, jazz artist Chuck Mangione are the other two. And so this isn't just our generation. It's also the boomers are included in this as well because of those two.
And this is not like a...
The millennials, the zennials.
Yeah, this is not like a wrestling death. This is a pop culture death because people who don't watch know who Hulk Hogan is.
Yeah.
It took over all the news shows. It took over Sports Center the day.
I was about to say, like, it hit ESPN. It hit CNN. So it was like, you have all of the different news outlets, sports, regular news. Like, they covered the fact that Hulk Hogan passed because it is a legitimate cultural icon. And it was the same thing like with Ozzy Osbourne. When Ozzy passed, it's like it was all over every bit of media that I could see. It was Ozzy Osbourne passed away and I was like, oh shit. And then yeah, Hogan passed and it was like, oh shit.
It's tough. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. Any other moments that you guys want to share about Hulk Hogan? Memories? Anything?
Mm.
Alright. There you go. With that,
we're all still processing it, is the thing. So.
With that, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. We'll take a quick break to reset, come back and talk about SummerSlam and why we're not in the talks, the shows, and podcast category. We're in a different one. Talk about that on the other side. You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you in like 2-3 minutes to talk about more professional wrestling.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Thursday nights. It is the experience known as the Rack.
Are we allowed to say boobs?
I'm not. Boobs.
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, so
we need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have boobs. A thumbs up on boobs or a thumbs down.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices people hear, is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me.
Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to the Rap. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, NWA TNA superstar, and you're listening to WTR.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. Back to talk SummerSlam, the first two-night SummerSlam. Yes, two nights. So many matches, but two nights full of action. Are we excited for two nights of SummerSlam?
I mean, at least it breaks it up.
It does, in fact.
Instead of 12 matches in one day.
Instead of 12 matches in one day, unlike other promotions that we're not going to talk about this evening. So, before we get into the preview, as always, we'll have a thing so you can make your picks. But because it's kind of a summer WrestleMania, SummerSlam, we're going to do WWE simulations in WWE 2K20. Five, as we talk about SummerSlam. That's why we're in a different category than we usually are tonight. So we're going to flip to stuff. You're going to see it on the fancy Twitch screens as you're watching along. You'll see it. But we're going to talk about all the matches. We're going to start with, you know, the night one, then move our way to night two. So we're going to switch you over to here. You see this? We'll hit this button. We'll make that a full screen. We'll hit spectate. And we'll see matches go on. And we're going to start with the one that's on the screen here in a second, because yeah, we need to make sure that window's clicked. It'll be Roman Reigns teaming with Jey Uso to take on Bron Breakker and Big Bronson Reed. Roman's first match.
You're going to make me keep track of something new.
Yeah, I know. How dare I do that? This will be Roman's first match since WrestleMania, which is... He's on that very limited schedule, even though everyone's on a more limited schedule. He's on a... even limiter schedule. Yeah, he's on the old...
He's on the abridged Randy Orton schedule.
I think he's closer to what was Brock's schedule. Let's be real.
I mean, fair.
Because someone put out a chart, a graphic, something, like, of his matches, like, how many he's had per year for a long time. It was like 100-something, then it dipped to, like, 20, and then it's, like, 6 last year.
If he can work that into his contract... More power to him.
More
because
power
you know
to
he's
him.
Getting paid the same money for it, too.
Even more.
Yeah.
He got the big old deal, and there's nothing wrong with it.
If you can work that, if you can be like, hey, I'm gonna, like, I only feel like competing 10 dates a year, and they go, sure, no problem. I don't think anyone's going to sit there and go, well, that's stupid.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would say that's stupid. I think anyone would take that deal. But now he's back in action, teaming with Jay against Bron Bron.
The one thing I will say about this is, as I've said in past episodes of this show, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of Jay being involved in, like, the Bloodline storyline.
Yeah.
I feel like for this, it's a slight bit different because being paired with Roman going up against Braun and Braun, and Bronson, I should say, still feels at the level of a, like, main event style. So it's like you're still keeping Jay in the same leveling. Whereas I felt if he was going to be part of the Solo and Jacob storyline, it would have felt like, oh, they're dropping him down into the mid-card. It's still a high mid-card, but it's a mid-card nonetheless. But being paired with Roman against the two guys that they're trying to elevate with Seth still feels like, okay, it's still main event Jey Uso, not, you know, oh, Roman and his cousin.
And they are really trying hard to move up on Breakker and Bronson Reed to that next level.
Especially with Seth not there, it's more of it is on them to try and, like, elevate themselves.
Which I think they're doing a pretty good job with.
What might make it better is if they get a win here.
You think so?
If they can pick up a win against Roman and Jay, I think that's a big feather in their cap. Now, if they have a good match, you know, here at SummerSlam, that can still do wonders for them and elevate them. I'm just saying, you know, if you have, like, Braun pick up a win here, if he did happen to pin Roman, I don't think he's going to, but if he were to pick up a pinfall on Roman Reigns, I think a lot of people would go, oh, shit, okay. But there's also depending on who you read, there's a reason why this is a tag match now.
There are reasons.
I mean, there's a seven-star reason, apparently.
What's the seven-star reason? What's the seven-star reason? Brent, tell us. Enlighten.
So it was originally stated that it was supposed to be two singles matches, but by putting Roman in this situation, you can have, like, him pin Bronson if need be to, you know, keep Roman at his level and you know, because if it was him versus Braun, which was, I guess, the original concept, oh, you'd have to come up with some kind of schmoz finish to save them both, because neither of them are going to take a legit fall. So, but that's if you believe certain internet personalities.
It's hard to believe that people would read things on the internet and believe it's fully true, that they got all the information of what the plan was that no one else knew about.
And that Seth is not legitimately hurt.
which, you know, you can talk about later. Because people have theories that he's not. If he's walking around on the carts on streets walking with his child, he's hurt.
This is not a prestige level cell, okay? He doesn't have a fishbowl between his knees. I'm sorry.
Just about to say that. He's not walking around with a fishbowl under.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Tim, on this match? Or Cage, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, kind of piggybacking off of some of Brent's comments, like, I also think that giving Braun and Braun's son a win here would be good for, like, elevating them. And I think there are ways to do it. They would obviously be, you know, sort of schmozzy, whether there be some shenanigans on the outside preventing either Roman or Jay from getting in and, like, preventing a double team. I think if Roman were to take a pin, it would be after, like, multiple tsunamis to try and, like, be like, oh, this is what it took to keep, you know, the tribal chief down. And then he's still protected because he had to get, like, both figurative, like, literally squashed multiple times. Or, you know, you could do the same thing for Jay and have him take a couple, or like a spear right into a tsunami back to back. You could, you know, you look at Bron Breakker's spear, which is like, it seems like he hits you at 100 miles an hour. And then right after that, you roll out of the way and, like, you have Bronson Reed immediately jump on you from the top rope. I don't care who you are. You're probably staying down for a count. So there are ways to do it. Whether or not that is the plan all kind of, I guess, depends on how they want to book Roman with his comeback. I think they'll have him, you know, he's been gone for a while. I think they'll have him come back with a win. Whether they do something to protect Seth's crew will remain to be seen. But I think the video game lies.
Right, as soon as he says that, we get the video game answer.
Right?
The video game picked the Browns to win, so there's that one.
I think I'm going to lean towards Roman Reigns getting a victory in his big comeback, but I would be pleasantly surprised if they gave a win to the Bronze.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is definitely a main event level match. No mid-card, upper mid-card nonsense or anything like that. I'm good. I'm agreeing with the video game.
You're going with the Bronze, okay?
With the Bronze. I'm agreeing with the video game. Momentum is everything, as opposed to being established. When you're established, you're not getting hurt. When you've got momentum, one wrong booking can kill you. I envision Paul Heyman bringing out somebody, and Casey was talking about having a schmuck. Yeah, it's going to devolve into that. And somebody's coming out and like, they're going to take out Roman so they can pin Jay. This is my feeling and my thought, regardless whether or not that happens. I'm going with the Bronze.
All right, Brent, who are you going with officially?
I would lean the Visionaries if it weren't for the fact that Seth is hurt. Because I think you're bringing Roman back a bit to help cover for Seth's injury, because you lost someone in that upper tier that you need to kind of help fill. And so if it weren't for the fact of Seth being hurt, I would be like, I could see the Visionaries win. I could see four tsunamis onto Roman, because that's a way that you can write him back off and be like, okay, this was his one big appearance. Let's get him back off of TV to sell some of this injury. But I have a feeling for this instance, it's we need Roman to be around for a little while. And with that, I think the Bronze will look big and bad in this, but some, you know, Roman will ultimately pull out a win for his group.
And did we get an official Casey pick?
Casey picked Roman and Jay at first.
Okay.
I did indeed.
All right. The tag team.
Just before we go to the next one, just throw this in as a wild card. It probably won't happen. I don't see it happening. But how wild would it be to have Roman turn on Jay halfway through the match or to end the match and wind up being the substitute replacement for Seth, who's going to be out for a hell of a long time? Just food for thought. Something to think about.
I mean, since they dismissed that and ran that on Monday, I don't think so. But you never know.
They've never been known to swerve the fan.
Anyway, the women's tag team titles are on the line when Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, this brand new tag team, kind of really working, takes on Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez.
Okay, if rumors are to be believed, I appreciate the fact that Charlotte was like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to fight Alexa? Nah, let's keep this tag team going. And
man,
like,
again, you're believing a guy who's saying they're when they barely have tagged together, oh, we're running the breakup angle that was scheduled for 3 weeks, 3 weeks later after their first tag match. Yeah, we're believing that story, okay?
The one thing I do love is there is this very weird dynamic with Charlotte and Alexa that just works, where it's like, Charlotte is treating Alexa like her little sister, and Alexa just does not put up with shit, and for some reason, it's getting Charlotte over.
It's forcing.
We didn't think this was gonna happen.
It's forcing Charlotte out of her comfort zone.
Which is good!
Yeah,
he's not wrong.
I like the fact that it's like, Charlotte even being bitchy, like, the fans are just like, ah, that's kind of a nice little piece of her personality. When she's interacting with Alexa.
Yeah, I think it just works good because they, like, those two have always had chemistry, like, even when they were on opposite sides of the ring. And that's one of those things, like, if you have good chemistry as opponents, you tend to have pretty decent chemistry as partners if they decide to put you together.
Yeah, it does work like that.
And we're seeing a little more of the melding of Roxanne and Raquel as well. Like, Raquel's kind of tolerating Roxanne, but she's seeing her as, you know, an asset now, as opposed to just the little yippy dog around the giant bulldog that, you know. Yes, I just dated myself with a Looney Tunes reference. I don't care.
I understood that. I got that one.
but Roxanne does provide a good filler for Liv being out. Because originally Liv goes down and a lot of people go, you know, oh, well, there goes a lot of the plans that they probably had moving forward. What can you do? And Roxanne's able to kind of step in there and play that third wheel who's trying to, you know, ingratiate herself to the Judgment Day. And you've got, you know, the stuff there with Finn and Dom as well. And so it's adding a little bit more layering than you had with just the power play of Liv and Dom, but mostly Liv, in the previous incarnation. So it's kind of interesting to see how they were able to take this happenstance and turn it fairly well into good story.
Yeah, and they've done a good job with it, so I think that really helps.
That does kind of help.
Yeah.
That said, who is walking out with the gold, Keish?
I think Roxanne and Raquel are going to keep it just for a little bit longer, mostly because, like, we're still kind of fleshing out that dynamic between them, and, like, having them as, like, successfully defend, I think, kind of gives a little bit more to, like, the Judgment Day story with Roxanne kind of being like, oh, look how good of a team we are as I slowly, like, sink my claws deeper and deeper into this group while Liv's gone. I think they need that in order to kind of progress the story in the way that I'd like to see it go. And I wouldn't say that's the end of, like, Charlotte and Alexa. I think that pairing has legs too. But I think that there's other things they can do with them that don't require titles. Like, they can kind of bounce off of this and be like, okay, well, you know, we're kind of a new team and we did pretty good, but maybe we just stay together for a little while and see where it goes, which I think would be fun.
It would be. All right, Tim, who you got?
If it were any other pay-per-view, I'd say it was retention of the titles. But SummerSlam, Charlotte is actually, you know, getting over thanks to Alexa and the dynamic between them, like Brent was saying. I could see a title change to the point where I'm going to say there's a title change in this match.
All right, Tim is leaning on Charlotte and Alexa to come out on top. Brent, what do you got?
See, I like Casey's thought of the Judgment Day winning in order to kind of help solidify Roxanne, but I can see that happening even with a loss, because I see a scenario where Roxanne does kind of a Charlotte and Alexa from the four-way match, and she'll sacrifice herself to save Raquel from something, and ultimately Raquel will take the pinfall, and that kind of more ingratiates, even though they lost the belts, it'll more ingratiate Roxanne into the group, because Raquel will now more admittedly be kind of like, no, she's cool. Like, she took the bullet in this, and, like, we can get the titles back, we've done it. You know, we got the titles back the day after we lost them before. We can do it again. And you can build up the odd couple of Alexa and Charlotte as well. So I'm going with the SmackDown Blondes.
All right, there you go. Video game is still trying to figure itself out. It's a tag match. They take some time. Sami Zayn, though, squares off against Karrion Kross one more time.
The rubber
match. Oh, this is Karrion Kross's final match, right? I mean, he's absolutely leaving. His contract is up and he's gone.
And he's going to leave angry.
I mean, if we believe that he's actually on the way out.
If you actually believe it. And the video game went with a retention. So
they've done well with Sammy and Karrion in carrying out this feud, that it didn't need to be a huge feud. It's featuring two guys that you want to have on a PLE card. And you got them on, what was the last PLE they were both on?
Night of Champions.
Yeah, they fought Night of Champions in Saudi, and then they had the second match on Raw. So this is your rubber match. And you just get this kind of thing where Karrion's trying to get Sammy to kind of turn dark and admit that he is a liar and a cheat and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, our beloved Sami Zayn is fighting for his own honor. But it's good because Karrion can eat losses here if he needs to. And if it is his swan song, so be it. Let him do the job on the way out. Do I think he's leaving? Probably not.
Thoughts, Keish?
Yeah, I think this is definitely, like, another story of, like, Sammy being the underdog and kind of fighting from the bottom to achieve a victory. I don't, win or lose, I don't think Kross is leaving the company. I think he can kind of take a loss I don't think it's going to hurt him, especially, you know, if you can stack the odds against Sammy and kind of have him pull out, like, whether it's not, I don't think it'll be definitive. I don't think it'll be a fluke. It's going to be kind of somewhere in the middle where there will be some shenanigans and he'll overcome it, but not to like an egregious point where he like, you know, go like cross goes for a roll up and he like does like a quick counter and like steals a pin. I think there'll be something definitive, but in an overcome the odds sort of way. So yeah, I think Sammy's going to get a win here, but maybe after the match, there's like a big beat down or something where Cross kind of gets his heat back, whether it's to continue the feud or just to kind of keep Cross a little stronger.
Tim?
Oh, honestly thinking it's a bit of a tough call for me on this one. I mean, internet rumors and bullshit aside, what would a loss to Sammy do for Sammy? What would a loss to Kerryon do to Kerryon, right? Really, I don't see it being a major impact either way. And that being said, I'm leaning towards Sammy getting the victory again.
You're leaning to Sammy getting the win. And Brent, your official pick is who?
I'm going to go Sammy in this respect. Kerryon got the win this past week. That was getting you to the rubber match. I don't see Kerryon pick up the win here. I can see Sammy moving on after this feud. And again, if Kerryon rides off into the sunset or to TNA or whatever, so be it. But I see him moving on to a new kind of feud from here.
Okay. The WWE Women's Championship is on the line. Tiffany Stratton defends against Jade Cargill.
I think this is going to be a real big test for Jade.
Okay. Why is that?
To kind of see like how much she's been progressing, because she has been, but going into, like, not to say that, you know, Tiffany is 100% polished, but I think the style that she works and like some of the higher stuff will be interesting to see kind of how they work together. I think it's gonna go well, because like I said, Jade has been progressing and she's been improving, and but this will be kind of like a test to kind of see how she works, the kind of style that this is, where, you know, she's not protected in a tag team or like a no holds barred match, and stuff like that. Plus you have Tiffany, who's not like a seasoned vet. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if things kind of go off the rails a little bit. I don't anticipate Jade winning right now. There's just a lot of momentum with Tiffany.
Yeah.
Not that she wouldn't recover from a loss. I just think that they have a lot banking on her right now. I think I'm going to lean towards Tiffany retaining.
What's your thinking, Tim?
No, I feel like I may have been a little hypercritical of late where Jade Cargill is concerned.
Just a little. Just a little.
Yeah. But my problem is when I see something and it like figuratively smacks me in the face, I start like noticing little shit that other people aren't paying attention to. And it's a terrible thing. And I'm a bit like a pit bull in that respect. It's really hard for me to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen progression from, you know, for Jade from that very first time that it like, smack me in the face, like I'm saying, for the metaphor. But you know, like when it stood out, everything stands out. But I have noticed like there's a bit of improvement, and she has gotten a bit better. But you know, they have put a lot of investment into Tiffany, and a loss right now would be a total momentum killer. Jade might wind up being that wrestler that works better chasing it. And right now, in all honesty, I don't think she's ready. So, retention.
Okay. Right.
This one's tough for me because I'm looking towards Crown Jewel Perth, which I believe is October.
Yes.
And we discussed this before. The Crown Jewel in Perth could be champion versus champion, which I believe that is
the gimmick.
One of the big things. Yeah, the gimmick for that. So I'm looking at that and I'm trying to see where are they going to try and put people on that card? Because we know Cena is out there. They've advertised it's his last time in Australia. It might be his first time in Australia. So, but you know, like, okay, maybe he will probably have that belt or that or something. He will be heavily involved in that show. And I'm looking on the female side and I'm going, okay, you can always have Rhea as the Raw champion, or, you know, I'm sorry, the world champion. I think it's world, right, on Raw?
Yeah, worlds are Raw, yeah.
The worlds, you can have her as the representative there, get satisfying two of the check marks of, all right, she's champion and she's in the Australia show, so yay. But if you wanted to, that's where you could have a big payoff of, if Naomi is your world champion and Jade is your women's champion, you just so coincidentally get to have them in a big match in Perth. Ultimately, when I look at this match, it's going to be a big test, in my opinion, for both of them. Jade, because she's going to be in a really big title opportunity on a big stage against a very athletic opponent. It's also going to, I think, be a very big test for Tiffany, because she has recently, in some of her matches, had people like Trish and some others that she can really kind of work with. And with this, she's really going to be a bit more on an island. And, like, can she lead and get this match to the same level that she has her recent ones? So, as much as it's, I think, a test for Jade, I think it's just as big of a test for Tiffany. But I ultimately think when it comes to this, this is where Jade officially gets back on track for her big push she had before she got hurt. Because she was leading that way. They had the injury angle. They had her, you know, taken out, which ultimately was Naomi in storyline that did it. I think this is where they pull the trigger and show, like, this is where she was supposed to be because she's won King of, or Queen of the Ring and got to this point. So for this, I'm going to pick Jade.
For housekeeping's sake, Sami Zayn won in the video game. Up next, we're talking about what's currently being streamed right now. It is the tag team match, the celebrity tag team match. It is Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul taking on Randy Orton and making his in-ring debut for WWE Jelly Roll.
Oh, Rock, did you have a winner in Jade and Tiffany, or did you not say that?
We'll get to there. I'm trying to get the tag match out of the way because they take longer.
Oh, gotcha. No, I'm just making sure because I was like, did I miss that one? Damn it!
No, you did not miss that one. We're getting there. We're going to get there. Okay, thank you. But as of now, that's the tag match. Because currently, after attending a friend's wedding in Europe, in England, Drew's stuck there, apparently, without a passport.
Oh, no.
And Drew has had some words recently as well.
So he's kind of stuck there, he put out on Twitter. So,
yeah, it might be a Logan Paul handicap match.
That's on a boat. Come on, get him here.
They're working on it. They got time. They got a few days. But as of today, he's stuck there.
This match is getting moved to day two.
If they have to, you know.
I was going to say that. Well, as of right now, the six-pack challenge has not been announced for a day. I mean, we all assume it's going to be day two because it was one match short. But you have a buffer right now.
You do. You have a lot of buffers that you can do. But, yeah, what do we think about Jelly Roll competing?
Oh, God.
I was going to say, I want Tim's reaction first, because I know he has feelings about this kind of thing.
Bringing a celebrity is more miss than hit, even though you can point to guys like Stephen Amell and Bad Bunny.
Logan Paul.
Fuck off, Logan Paul. Yeah, and Logan Paul, shut up. I
mean, the man has been on how many PLEs?
Yeah. But, you know, Logan Paul has put in the actual work to be a casual, super part-time wrestler. It's something he wants to do. It's not a gimmick. Like, Bad Bunny is a gimmick. Jelly Roll is a gimmick. Snooki was a really bad fucking gimmick.
See, I would argue, though, that people like Bad Bunny, when he takes weeks off of, you know, a world tour and all of that to train to be in the ring, and was shown to carry a PLE main event, I think there's a little bit more than just kind of celebrity appearance for him.
No, it's still a celebrity appearance. The thing, you know, like I did give him a subtle nod, just like I did with Steve Amell. And you know, it was kudos to the two of them because they put in the work to actually put on a good match, and they both, you know, they did well.
So for backstory, Jelly Roll has been at the PC for a month or so, working in between concerts.
It's still with the case of me once bitten, twice shy. Prove it, and then I'll back you. I got nothing wrong with Jelly Roll singing. You know, that's one thing. I don't hate his music.
I mean,
but what, you don't like his music?
No, I'm saying I was going to say it's a summer tradition to get celebrities in the ring, and you're missing some. You had Karl Malone, Dennis Rodman. They all did it in the summer. So, celebrities in the ring.
But they were bashing at the beach for different letters.
And Hogwild and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know Tim is just mad that Jelly Roll is not bringing the boom, okay? That's... Not everyone can relive their wrestling glory years from 20 years ago. All right.
There you go. Anyway, yeah. Where was I?
You were bashing Jelly Roll, but keep going.
I wasn't bashing Jelly Roll.
Celebrities in wrestling matches is hot garbage.
I was bashing celebrities in wrestling matches. Okay, so Drew gets his passport issue sorted out, and it's actually Drew and Logan. Is the other thing here is, again, it's a gimmick which projects the outcome of this match. They're not going to have Jelly Roll come in and lose. Not going to do it.
They could if you want to get Logan over as a complete asshole. Logan's entire gimmick is being a dick. So
that's just not a gimmick. Not a gimmick. He's a dick.
Well, he understands his role.
He doesn't need to be gotten over as one.
But he understands his role. He's like the Miz. It's that idea of, like, he can step in, and if he pins Jelly Roll, the crowd's going to shit on him because they hate him, and it's going to work at getting him continued over as a piece of shit.
And you're going to see garbage thrown like you haven't seen since Hulk turned. Yeah, I get it. But all of this bitching and whining and complaining and shit like that. I'm picking Randy and Jelly.
Randy and Jelly.
Orton Roll.
RK Roll.
Nice.
I'm not taking credit for that one. That's what they said on television.
That's funny.
Also, the video game went with Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, by the way, you brought up Bad Bunny. Watch Happy Gilmore, too. He's more than a little prominent in it.
He's really
hilarious.
Good. He was really good.
Oh, he made that movie. I thought the movie was kind of like, yeah, except for him. he was really fucking entertaining. He was good.
It was a good movie.
Four wrestlers in that movie?
Three.
MJF was in it.
Becky, MJF. Nikki,
and Bad Bunny. Four wrestlers.
Oh, Bad Bunny, yeah.
Three and a half.
Yeah. Did I miss Nikki?
Okay, yeah. She was Becky's caddy.
Oh, okay. I was wondering for a second. Yeah.
Her speaking lines got cut. So. That's why you didn't notice that.
So you're saying you can look, but you can't hear?
You can look. But you can't hear. What?
What? Moving on.
Casey,
who you got?
Yeah, who you got?
Yeah, real quick. So, like, to counter Tim's disdain for celebrities in wrestling matches, well, while a lot, there are a lot of examples that show why it's not a great idea, I think over the last few years, the WWE has been a lot more selective with who they bring in. This isn't like a celebrity general manager every week sort of thing, and a couple of them want to get involved, and they're like, okay, well, you can do one thing, and we'll practice it four times, and you're good to go. It sounds like a lot of the guys, celebrities who want to get involved, are taking it seriously. They're going, and, you know, you have Logan Paul, who bought a ring, and he trains on a very, very regular basis, and then you have other guys who are, you know, they're going to the PC, and they're doing training, and they're trying to do things to make it look like they actually belong, which is really cool from a standpoint of a wrestling fan who knows that they're always going to try and bridge that gap to bring in more viewers and have celebrities in wrestling. So the fact that, you know, Jelly Roll's been kind of doing his, I mean, you know, maybe not to the point of Logan Paul, but he's, you know, putting some time in and doing a little bit of training. So I think he's gonna come in and sit somewhere between like Bad Bunny on the high side and Johnny Knoxville on the low side. Johnny Knoxville is a guy who had a match against Sami Zayn at WrestleMania, and it was a very entertaining match. Did they hide behind a whole bunch of gimmicks? Absolutely. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Knoxville put a little work in too. I think Jelly Roll's not going to try and hide behind gimmicks so much as he's going to hide behind Randy Orton. But I also would not be surprised if he's the one that takes the pin from Logan Paul. Like Brent said, there is a believability to it where you have Logan Paul always having some sort of shenanigans being caused in his matches, having that, you know, surgically repaired left hand that has metal plate in it or whatever. And he could use that to take out Jelly Roll, and it would be believable to punch someone who does not regularly wrestle in the head with a hand with a steel plate in it and get a victory. So I'm going to pick Logan and Drew.
Oh, shit. Keishi, how solidly did you follow Stampede Wrestling?
Like the original?
Yes.
Well, for a large part of it, I was cross-eyed and drooling, so not very much.
Well, okay, the later years, when Bruce and Ross were running it.
More than its original heyday, I would go to the odd show here and there, but not, like, super, super religiously. When they had their, like, weekly show on local cable here, I watched it.
Okay, now, you know, you did see guys like Lethal Larry Cameron.
That name does not sound familiar, but it could just be, that doesn't necessarily mean I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, because I'm just trying to remember who it was, his finishing move. He's bald with a mustache, finishing move was the claw, and he kept yelling, yapping about having a surgically repaired titanium steel rod in his arm that made the claw unbreakable. Oh,
there you go.
Trying to remember who that was.
I can't remember. Yeah, that's not super familiar to me, so I may not know.
Wow. Late 90s.
Touch before my time of watching Stampede on a regular basis.
Thanks for not trying to make me feel old.
No, it just, I didn't know it existed until like 2000, 1999, like late 1999.
So that was obscure references for 500. Brent, do you have a pick?
I was going to say that's Cowboy Bob Orton and some other people that we've seen.
And Logan Paul with a titanium thing in his fist.
Yeah. Well, also Luger with the titanium thing in his forearm, too. Remember the bionic forearm?
Yeah.
But for me, it's one of those things of as much as I can see Logan Paul being a complete and absolute asshole and picking up the win here, I can easily just as see Logan Paul gets, or, you know, is an asshole, knocks out Jelly Roll with the loaded fist, and he's gloating. And yet, out of nowhere, Randy comes flying in, hits the RKO, and then places Jelly Roll on top of him to get the 1-2-3. So therefore, you still get Jelly Roll over, you get the comeuppance on Logan Paul, and it doesn't have to be that that moment of like Jelly Roll hitting a choke slam kind of thing that I think people like Tim would be like, oh God, about. I think it's, you can use Randy in that respect, and it plays off of like Drew hitting Jelly Roll out of nowhere with the Claymore. So it's just like, it started with that Claymore. It's going to end with Randy hitting the RKO and putting, you know, the nail in, unless you want to bring Jelly Roll back just for Logan Paul, maybe for something in the future.
Look at you booking on the fly.
Well, it's I can see visually how these things kind of work. And I was like, that would just be great. Logan sitting there hits him and it's like, yeah, what's up? Turns around and just Randy flies out of nowhere, hits him with the RKO and just looks over at Jelly Roll. Is like, huh, all right, boom.
There you go. All right. It's the world's heavyweight championship. Gunther defends against CM Punk.
To me, this match hinges on how long Seth is out for. If Seth is out for longer than, I would say, 3 months, it affects who I'm going to pick to win. If it's less than 3 months, I feel really good going with a pick because I think you can carry a story out of it. But it just depends.
A lot of effect. But I think they're all trying to figure out.
Like, if the knee is completely blown out, if it's, you know, what we've heard on the bad end, 6 to 8 months maybe, I would say Gunther retains here because he can carry it for a while. For me, the reason you put the belt on Punk is because Seth has the briefcase. And yeah, Seth would love nothing more than to ruin CM Punk's title reign. And then you carry that story forward of Seth gloating that he took the belt off of him and Punk just sitting there trying to get his hands on him once again.
I mean, that's possible. What are your thoughts, Keish?
I'm going to echo a lot of Brent's sentiments here. If Seth is out for a while, Gunther retains, and, you know, maybe Punk wins it further down the road for Seth to cash in on Punk, because I like that scenario. If the prognosis is not that far away, then yeah, you can give the, like, I like Seth cashing in on Punk's title. I think that's a great long-term storytelling scenario. I personally am going to lean on the side of Seth not being ready anytime soon. But the nice thing is, like, he has 9 or 10 months or something to cash in that briefcase.
So yeah.
So even if he's out 6 to 8 months, I still think he can come back with that briefcase, and that could be like the first time we see him as he comes in, his music plays, he's bringing the briefcase, he's cashing in on somebody. So I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to pick Gunther to retain.
All right, Tim.
Oh, you guys are putting caveats in. Well, it depends on how long Seth is out. What is a long time versus a short time, Brent?
A short term is if Seth just needs a scope, 2 months.
Okay. Label long term.
I did 6 to 8.
Cash?
I say long term, WrestleMania.
Okay.
Yeah. And short term is like, yeah, 2-3 months.
Okay. What's the problem with Punk holding that title from SummerSlam to Mania?
Nothing, but if you're going to do that, it seemed kind of silly. I mean, aside from like the what if of Goldberg winning that title, of giving it back to Gunther.
I just think
if you're going to give Gunther the title back and have him beat Goldberg, he's going to hold on to that title for a while.
I've seen them do quick turnarounds.
I have too, but you don't have, I don't personally, I don't think you have a guy who's had a very long dominant title reign. He did lose it, but he got it back. And then regardless of whether the fact the guy was old or the guy was injured or whatever, beat a wrestler who had one of the longest win streaks in the history of current professional wrestling, and then have him turn around and lose to Punk less than a month later.
I'm really on the fence about that. So just for shits and giggles, I'm picking Punk to win.
Right.
So I know I talked about Punk in the short term and everything. Again, I look at this in the same vein as the Jade match of Perth is lurking out there, and everything I've heard and read says Punk Cena was the end of their thing. What the match they just had, they don't want to carry that forward at all. So if Punk wins here, in theory, he's probably carrying it to Perth. He could drop it earlier, but I don't necessarily see that. I see, if Gunther faces Cena, that's a money match that I think some people would want to see. And it could be, Cena doesn't have to win that match. He could still be the one or the last real champion, but Gunther is the champion of champions in their matchup, like we saw with him and Cody. I am erring on the side of Seth's injury is longer than we think. I think it's going to be more on the 6-month side than, say, the 2 to 3 month side. No matter what Uncle Dave says, that this is all a scam to get us to forget. So I'm going to go Gunther here.
If it's a scam to get us to forget, why are you telling us about the scam? That makes no sense.
What am I supposed to forget?
There you go, Casey.
Exactly.
No, it's just I don't see the logic in terms of, yeah, this is all a fake, so that you guys will never suspect his cash-in. Really? Because he's gloating that he has the briefcase at every opportunity. I don't think it's going to be we forget he has a briefcase. But in this respect, I see Gunther picking up a win here. If Punk were to only have the belt for a short run, I think, honestly, that would appease some fans because he doesn't have to have a long run. If he did, you would get, I think, some of the thing that happened in AEW where they're like, oh, why does he have to have the title? And I think him going this long without having the title has kind of shown, like, he doesn't need that.
He hasn't needed it just yet. So you're going...
I'm
going
to go Gunther in this respect. Plus, that's had a lot of face picks so far, so I'm trying to balance it out a little bit.
And that's SummerSlam, right? That's the full card?
That's night one! Night one!
Yay!
Alright, we'll move a little quicker on these night twos. Alright.
more, who's your pick?
Six-pack tables, ladders, and chairs match for the WWE Tag Team titles, which we don't know what days it's on, but so we're just going to stick it right in the middle. It is the Wyatt Six, Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy, taking on Andrade and Rey Fénix, DIY, Fraxium, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Street Profits.
For all you people bitching that the SmackDown tag team titles can't be on the main show, here you go.
Also, Brent.
The entire SmackDown tag team division.
Yeah, Brent, Jade, by the way.
I saw that, I put it down. Okay. Yeah, you're going to have some absolute chicanery in this match. Between Fraxium, DIY, the Street Profits, the Machine Guns. Oh, yeah, and then you have two sick individuals in Lumis and Gacy that won't hesitate to, like, pull a Kevin Owens and end up on the, like, flat side of the ladder. Oh, yeah, and Andrade and Rey Fénix that will also do some stupid stuff. This is going to be a TLC match that you just watch the car wreck in a good way.
The irony of that statement. It's a car wreck, but in a good way.
Well, it's like going to watch a demolition derby. There's control.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Who's walking out champs, Keish?
I'm just going to go, because it's going to be such crazy town nut stuff, I'm just going to say the Wyatt Six will retain.
Tim?
I'm going with Wyatt Six.
Brent.
Okay, so I did something very, very scientific. I went to Google and rolled a D6.
I was just about to say.
And it told me the Motor City Machine Guns are winning this match. So I'm going to go with the roll.
There you go. The Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Dominic Mysterio finally faces off against AJ Styles. What are we thinking?
Little shit's been running away for a long time. He has been the Chris Jericho to AJ's Goldberg. At every opportunity, he has been running and using doctor's excuses to get the fuck away. And I figure you'd appreciate that reference, Keish.
Yes, sir.
Dom having the belt, I get, plays into the Judgment Day storyline. And AJ doesn't necessarily need an IC title run. But at the same time, taking it off of him could be good. Because he has been such a smarmy thing. And the fact that you rewarded him with the title at Mania is a big moment. Don't get me wrong. It's you rewarded him for the good job that he's done with the entire Judgment Day storyline. You put the belt on him. I think if you take the belt off of him here, it could play into the fact, especially if they lose the tag belts as well, you'll have Finn and JD with the Raw belts.
World belts.
World. I'm sorry. I'm so used to it being
maybe
that way.
Maybe. Maybe, because okay. They defend them tomorrow night.
Well, true. But I could see them having that. You have Dom and Raquel and Roxanne there, and some of this could play into Liv coming back, and it's just like, what's happened? And they have, and they're kind of like, oh, well, and they've kind of ingratiated Roxanne into the group, and you can start to have that real fissure of, like, you've accepted her, and look what's happened to the group. And everyone kind of has to navigate that, because we know Finn is on Team Roxanne. He brought her in. Liv is trying to undercut Finn at every opportunity. So I think if Dom were to lose to AJ here, that could help create extra kind of drama in that storyline. Plus, AJ's, you know, has admitted he probably does not have as much in the gas tank left. We know he's on his final contract. A final IC title reign for a little bit isn't going to hurt. You can always have him drop it back to Dom if need be, or to whomever. But, you know, putting the IC title on AJ is not a bad thing.
So you're going?
I'm
going
to go AJ.
Cage.
Yeah, all of that makes a lot of sense. I think you can take the title off of Dom, and even if he, like, gets it back from AJ on Monday, or AJ has it for a little while and gives it up, not a bad thing. You know, Dom losing that title will 100% advance that storyline, so I think I will also pick AJ Styles to win.
Tim?
Yeah, thinking about it, you know, Dom having the title just helps him stay over. Did you gotta look at the storyline and angle and the whole thing with Judgment Day. Not for the reasons Brent pointed out, or at least some of them. Yeah, I'm giving the win to AJ.
Alright, there you go. It is a steel cage match for the United States Championship. Solo Sikoa defends against Jacob Fatu. What are we thinking?
Who helps
Jacob? Is a steel cage really going to keep people out?
What are you going to say, Cage?
Who helps Jacob in this situation?
Jimmy?
Big Jim?
Maybe, but like, does that still... That's still like 2 against 4, right?
Big Jim, with a steel chair. I mean, that equals 3 against whatever, according to Wade Barrett math.
3 against 4?
Well, that's what we saw on SmackDown. He referenced that. He's like, oh, the numbers are still 2 against 4. And Barrett's like, but he has a chair, so it's 3 against 4, actually.
I mean, a chair definitely does help. That's not
except against Tama Tonga.
Yeah, chairs don't help if you're the one getting hit by it, unless you're Tama Tonga.
I feel like there's a numbers game here, no matter whether you have a cage or not, personally. I think it'll look like Jacob's got his fair shot, but I still think there's going to be shenanigans, and I think Solo retains here.
Okay, you retaining. Tim, what do you have?
Oh, Solo's going to get his ass kicked until those shenanigans, and then he retains.
Okay.
To put it succinctly.
Brent?
To me, I know that they've said that, was it the MFT?
Yeah.
The new group? That, oh, he has fulfilled his MFT. There's the 4 people. There's JC, Tala, and Tongaloa. There's still someone that's sitting out there that was with that group that no one's talked about recently. The other Gorilla of Destiny. And I don't think he's going to align himself with Jacob over his 2 brothers. This could be the opportunity where you have seen the, you know, the large part of the MFT neutralized, and then Tama comes in and costs the match. I don't think you're going to take the belt off of Solo just after giving it to him. Jacob can move on from the US title and do other things, and no one, I think, will bat an eye. I think right now, Solo needs that belt, and he needs that push more than anything. Because we've seen him languishing as the leader of the group before, but this title gives him a sense of legitimacy overall. So I'm going to go Solo retains here via whatever clusterfuckery takes place.
Okay. It is for the Intercontinental Championship. No disqualification. No countout. Last chance match. Becky Lynch, Lyra Valkyria. If Becky wins... Lyra can't challenge for the title as long as Becky is champion.
Ah, this dip again.
Yes. Running it back. In reverse.
In the opposite. Oh, Rock, who won the world title?
CM Punk.
Okay, Punker. Got it. Oh, you're already starting on night two. Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing the ladder match.
Okay. The match on day to be determined.
Yeah, exactly.
Day two.
Wait, are you only doing singles?
You can't do 12 people. You can't do 12
okay,
people.
Okay, so yeah, it's just a six-person ladder match. Got it.
You can't even do a six-person TLC match. You can do a five-person TLC match. You can do a three-on-three TLC match. You can do three teams TLC match. But you can't do an actual six-way TLC match. Why?
So I don't know. Who did you screw?
No, it's a ladder match. You can do it.
Oh, okay. It's just a six-person ladder. Got it.
Right, but in TLC, apparently, you can't do six people. You can only do up to five.
That's weird.
That's weird.
Wait, so you couldn't do Dudley's versus Hardy's versus Edge and Christian if you wanted to?
No, you can't. You could do a three team.
Oh, just a three team. Okay, three team, just not six team. Got it. It's all good.
It's weird, but you could do an eight-man ladder match. You figure that one out.
That's the reason why. Money in the bank.
Exactly. There you go.
There's the money in the bank contract.
Yeah.
So I say that.
There's no, they have no belt. There's no singles tag title. You can't put it up there.
WWE 2K, I love you.
Anyway, back to Becky and Lara.
Case, you first.
I'm just trying to think of, like, you know, what happens to Lyra if she loses. What does she move on to? Does she move on to anything?
Mm-hmm.
Becky, if she loses, can move on to all kinds of stuff. Interesting to see. I think I'm going to have Becky retain, and I think Lyra will move on to other things, and Becky will move on to rubbing it in her faces.
There you go. Tim, who you got?
I'm not going to lie to you. I've lost sleep debating on who I think was going to win this one. Really, really, really a difficult choice. But at the end of the day, I'm leaning towards Becky retaining.
Brent?
I see Becky winning this because, one, Lyra has had the IC title for a while before this. And honestly, if she were to lose the match and she couldn't challenge for it while Becky held it, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because now you have to come up with, as Casey said, that creative direction of where do we go with her, because we can't have her challenge for that belt. I think Becky can move out, and you've got people that can challenge her for that. And also, I mean, we talked about it earlier. There's no problem with someone who happens to be in a movie that was just released holding a title, talking about how they're in a very popular movie and that you should go watch it on Netflix. So in that respect, I could see Becky retaining, and you can get a little bit of rub out of that in her being a champion and a movie star from it. Oh, and look, it became a ladders and tables match, Rock.
It has, they figured out how to get a table. Yeah, has, yeah, you talk about Happy Gilmore. All right. The women's World Championship is on the line. Naomi defends against Io Sky and Rhea Bloody Ripley. What are we thinking?
That is Naomi way
keeps that title.
Well, in that case,
I think Naomi's going to keep the title. I think Io and Rhea are going to somehow accidentally get in each other's way, and Naomi's going to sneak out a win.
Tim, I heard you touching on something.
I was just saying that I think it's way too early for the current women's champion to lose that title.
What, a 3-week title reign? That's not long enough for you?
Nah, give her another 3 weeks on top of it. At least. I'm reading on social media. Everybody is such a Rhea Ripley fan, which is great. She's fantastic. She's wonderful and sweet and a joy to watch wrestle every night that she does. Lately, she's been better chasing it. They need to keep that title on Naomi for a while. Just in case my other prediction proves wrong and there's a meetup.
I was going to say, I already talked about what I think my plan is for Perth. So
I'm hedging my bet, okay?
But that's what I'm describing for mine is I think Naomi retains here playing towards that bigger match in Perth, because Naomi versus Jade, you can have champion versus champion. Neither of them loses that belt, but if Naomi were to win the crown jewel thing, that's a thing she can laud over Jade, or that's something that Jade can hold over, like, okay, you've won this, but I'm the better person. And have that eat at Naomi, even though she is the world's champion, or the women's champion in that respect. But yeah, I could see Naomi retain here just because, not just that she won the belt 3 weeks ago, but also, Rock, I don't know how that would go over on social media if she especially were to drop that in 3 weeks.
I don't disagree, but
what?
I don't disagree. I mean, that could go over badly.
Yeah.
But who knows? Again, as Tip said earlier, that's WWE, stranger things have happened. Never know. But you're all going Naomi to retain. It leaves one match. John Cena, Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. Keish?
How many more appearances does John Cena have?
He's here until
At
December.
At least Australia.
Mid-December.
Mid-December. Interesting, interesting. What does Cody do if he loses here?
Film a movie.
Yeah.
He's going to be a street fighter.
I don't think Cena's done with his super fun title run, not with a street fight.
Also, Cena has something coming up in the next 2 months, right, Rock?
What's that?
Doesn't season 2 of something officially hit the airwaves?
Next month, yeah.
Yeah?
It's about damn time. I've been waiting.
Do you really want it, Tim?
What? You don't like that show?
No, I was...
He was going off the theme song.
Yeah. Oh. See, I don't pay attention to the theme song.
Oh, but the theme song is so good. Anyway, yeah. Cena's not done. He still has a few more faces to rub. The fact that he's going to be taking this championship and going home into. Yeah, so the long and short of it, I think Cena retains.
Tim?
Even shorter, Cena.
Brent?
Okay, I have a scenario here.
Uh-oh.
We were almost done by midnight. What's your scenario,
Brent? We'll finish by midnight. I'll be quick. So, we get towards the end of the match. Cody and Cena have been beating the hell out of each other. John's getting ready to hit Cody with the belt. Cody, you know, has done all the things. You know, he's willing to take that extra step in order to, you know, show that he wants the title more than anything. He's willing to take that leap. Cena goes to hit, and Travis Scott's not coming out at all. No, we hear Dwayne's music. Dwayne walks out. Boom, Lobo's Cena. Cody hits him with the belt. 1, 2, 3. Cody turns dark. And all of that's complete bullshit, and John Cena wins this match. I had to just placate this idea that Cody's going to turn, and it's going to be... You know, he actualizes that thing that Dwayne wanted from him for so long. And no, it's Cena wins. Like I said before, this sets up Cena Gunther in Perth for the Crown Jewel title.
But he wore the watch on television, the Rock watch. And then there was...
I know, there's the glasses and the watch. Oh my God, they're setting it up.
They're telling you the story. It's right there.
And John... John was trying to be sympathetic in that promo, and Cody was willing to prove that he's willing to do anything to win the title. Cody's not ready to be the heel yet.
You don't have a person to replace Cody.
No. And if anything, as Rock just said, John can be around because a show has already been filmed and he can do the press for it. Someone is going to need to be off filming a movie.
Well, Cena's actually filming a movie too in New York. Cody's is, I think, going to be in Australia.
And him, Roman him, will have to probably go at some point, so.
Him and Roman are going to be on the same flight, probably. To film a Street Fighter.
The same chartered flight, probably.
Probably. But hey, that means they can probably wrestle in Australia.
Yeah.
They're there.
I know. It sounds too much like a setup to me.
But it's, it could be a setup. Who knows?
Rock, did you like my elaborate setup?
No, because it was like textbook internet bullshit.
That's why I said it.
I feel like you could be more creative.
I've been creative throughout this whole show with other things. I phoned in on the Cena Cody one, okay? So sue me.
You phoned in on the main event.
Never phone in on the main event. It just ruins the entire show.
Well, he's trying to get us out of here before midnight.
Yeah, I booked a 9 out of 10 premium live event so far, all right?
5.5 minutes to go.
Hey, at least I am not running out of time at the very end.
This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw post show right after Monday Night Raw. We're going to talk all about it. Thursday night's Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern to talk SummerSlam both nights, and we'll finish the simulations there. Also, Andrade and Rey Fénix for the tag team titles. We'll finish the simulations this Thursday on the Rack, which means the Rack will be live again on Saturday once SummerSlam Night 1 ends. We'll be there live to talk all about it, which means next Sunday when Night 2 ends, we'll be there to talk all about it, and they'll give their thoughts on both nights of the show next Sunday night on WTR Sunday Night. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim has social media.
Yeah, you can follow me at Playing Sporns on Twitter X. So do it, because I'm there.
Anti-social cache. Is that it?
Yeah, you can find me not posting very often on social media at Kyle Driver. That being said, something just popped into my head that I'm going to put out there in probably the next 5 minutes. So if you want to see what that is, and it's really dumb, follow me, Kyle Driver.
Brant?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, making friends more often than not, at Kane Kittens. Well, Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Everyone, go visit Keishi's social media, because apparently we're getting a very, very rare instance of him posting. So, go.
Don't want to miss it. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular, well, used to be rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Socket at the 49 shop when you buy, I don't know, everything. And plus, Supermans and all the new battle passes coming up, all the things, because hashtag Epic Barner. We're out of here before midnight. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's going to say goodnight.
Good night.
A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minx. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge of self. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now.
WildTalkRadio.com.